In the Gospel of Mark, Jesus commissions his disciples with a worldwide missionary assignment. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Evangelism was the final instruction from Jesus to his followers. Today, generations later, the Great Commission remains the greatest calling of Christians to a lost world. Welcome to Mission Compass, your guide to the Great Commission, presented by Galcom International. On today's Mission Compass, we invite you to engage with us in fulfilling the Great Commission as we talk with mission workers about what God is doing through them as they share the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world.
Hello, friend, and welcome to Mission Compass, presented by Galcom International. I'm Ron Harris. You know, Galcom is a unique evangelistic ministry that uses the latest in audio broadcast technology to take the gospel message to millions of people around the world who are illiterate and difficult to reach. Using Christian radio as a primary tool, Galcom has impacted unreached people in more than 150 countries around the world. And we have you, our faithful listeners and donors, to thank for that. Well, let's begin. We have a special guest today I know you'll be blessed to hear about. Our Mission Compass program host is Tim Whitehead.
Well, Ron, just as we have in the last couple of weeks, it's kind of no guest, but old friends week here on Mission Compass. And back, it's got to be a good dozen times here on the program, Rick Bradford, just back from Nigeria. Great to have you back in the studio, Rick.
Thank you, Tim, and thank you, everyone. It's good to be back into Canada. A bit.
A bit? Yeah. How long are you here for?
I've been here for about 2.5 weeks. We'll be here until the 1st of July, and then I'll head back.
And we haven't even said we're back here, but it's Nigeria. We're talking about Nigeria today.
We're talking about Nigeria. You're right. West Africa.
And so you've been there now for?
Almost 8 years.
8 years. Originally started out to be a mechanic for the hospital, and everything has grown. And we're going to talk about all of these different ministries you're doing. But just off air, we were talking a little bit about the political and religious situation in Nigeria. We know Boko Haram in the north, things are violent. There's the Fulani in the Hausa, and there's tribal issues. Where you are down in Egbe, how safe are you? What's going on there?
Well, just before I even mention that, I have to say, yes, there's still difficulties in the north. Yes, there's still unreached, untouched places in the north that need those who are willing to go to the difficult places and bring the message of Christ. Where I am in the Middle Belt, it's been really interesting. It was considered somewhat Christian. First missionary, 1908, from Hamilton, went there and brought the message of Christ to the Yoruba people.
From our home church.
From our home church, it's right, yes. And so with that, it's just carried on. SIM has developed hospital ministry, education ministry, Bible school ministry. It's just growing and growing and growing throughout Nigeria. Where I've been put, it's been interesting that God put us back to the very beginning where we went to as a mission and as our church to Egbe. Because there's a movement happening, something that's happening there beyond the growth of the church. Yes, the church is growing. Christians are growing with the Yoruba people, with the Yagba people. But there's a mass movement of people coming to the Middle Belt. Not just Egbe, but the whole stretch of the middle. Everywhere south of the Niger River is being just imposed by people from the north coming, running away from the trouble of the north. And so what you're seeing is this mass movement. It's not so blatant because they're living in the bush. They're living in the remote regions. So the Yoruba people are not noticing how much is going on, how many people are coming to their region. And so what we're finding is plenty of Fulani. One of my focuses now is God has led me to reach the Fulani for the message of hope. And so I go out to the bushes and I see different camps. Now, this is like the National Geographic today, the grass huts, you know, the whole bit, the wooden fires, everything. You see it all. But it's real people. It's God's people who need yet to know his message. The Hausa, they've come from the north. They originally came as workers to be farmers, to help grow the crops. The Yoruba would hire them. They'd grow crops. They have found that this land is so rich and fertile that they're moving and living into this region. The third aspect is the religious aspect. What we're seeing is a mass movement of Islamic people from the north moving to the middle, pushing to touch the water. That's their goal, is to bring Islam to the water.
This is a very complex issue, very complex state of affairs there. But bottom line, it's a massive opportunity, people coming to your doorstep to share about Jesus Christ.
Very much so. As much as what I've been saying is happening in the last 5 years. Matter of fact, in the last 6 months, so many have moved into the, particularly in a region that I'm working in. It's a town called Okurin, and it's just lots of Hausa people, lots of Fulani are moving, and the Yoruba king is happy because it brings in money for the economy, for the people there. They're buying and selling, and they're bringing things. But what we're not seeing is the religious issue, the Islamic movement coming in. We have the largest mosque that I've seen in our whole region is being built in this town, this small little town, because the movement of the Islam is coming to this region. So with that opportunity, as you said, what we know statistically, we've been talking in Christian circles, is the fact that new people who come from another country to our country, we have 1 year to reach them before they assimilate into
coming
their own
Canada
kind.
Or U.S.
Canada, right. U.S. Yeah. That they will assimilate to their own people after 1 year. So as right. Christians, it's our obligation to be friends, to come with them, come close, bring the message of love and compassion to them so that they will see the truth of Christ. We have the same thing in our own region. When those from the north come to the middle, it's not their place. It's not their land. They're coming as visitors. They're coming as people who want to live there in supposedly peace. The Christians need to see this is the greatest opportunity to bring the message of Christ to those who are moving into their land.
A couple weeks ago, we had Andrew Brown, who works in South Sudan, officially a Christian nation, but tribal issues seem to override the identity of the Christian. And so a Christian that's Dinkin, a Christian that newer, they can't seem to get past that tribal issue. Will the Christians, the Yoruba Christians, are they welcoming people from other tribes? Are you able to get past that barrier?
I believe it's one of God's gifting to me is to help bridge that. Mm-hmm. It is a problem. Sorry to say, across Africa, tribalism is still the biggest deterrent to people coming to know Christ in a real way. It's there. Be honest. The Yoruba people, if you shame a Yoruba people, if you don't greet a Yoruba person, they turn their face. You may be right beside them, but they turn their face away from you and they will not speak to you. They will hear you, but because you shamed them, because you offended them or whatever, they will not speak to you. And that can go on for a while until you beg for mercy or whatever. But they do that to the other tribes. They turn their face. They don't even see the tribe that's come to live right beside them, come to live in their neighborhood, until it's just almost too late. There's so many of them, they're being overwhelmed by these people. Yes, they will trade with them, they will sell with them, they will buy with them. But to live there, they've turned their face to seeing that they live there. Do they need Christ? I tell you, I've heard from the pulpit, the Fulani deserve hell.
Wow.
So the Christians are at the point in which they believe those who do evil upon them deserve hell. And that's been a message I'm trying to put away, trying to say, no, it's not that. We all, God loves all. He wishes none would perish, yeah, but all would come to know him.
And this is not easy either. I mean, because there are some ancient issues between the tribes. There have been wrongs done. And so, you know, for me to forgive my neighbor if he, you know, spills something on my lawn, his trash gets on my lawn, that's small potatoes. There's some significant issues that to ask them to forgive people from the tribe, there's...
That's so true. My tailor, when I first went to Nigeria, I had a tailor. True. They do the gowns. They do the whole thing, right? So we get this tailor and he measures me and he does me up a nice gown. After the first year, he went to his farm. A Fulani person with a machete came and butchered him, cut his neck, cut his shoulder, cut his arm. He went to the hospital. Fortunately, he survived, but he can't sew. He can't be a tailor anymore. So he's a security guy for the king and he's things like this. But those are real issues that happen in real time. It's true. But yet it shouldn't stop us from bringing the message of Christ to those who harm us. And that's been a message I'm trying to bring to them. So I have a team of fellas working with me. I have a mason, I have a plumber, and I have a guy who's sort of a furniture maker, so carpenter. So we've been doing wells and we've been doing this. And so the plumber comes with me, the furniture guy, he's my supervisor, and he's going out seeing the work that I've been doing. He wants to go to the bush. This is Yoruba Christians. Okay. He wants to go to the bush. So he goes out with me to one Fulani village. We plead with the leader, and I have a Fulani interpreter who's a Christian evangelist with me. So we talk with them, and we agree to do the well. So when we go to do the well, they're just looking like they're afraid.
Yeah.
Do we actually come back? Is it okay to come back? I said, we're coming back. So the well gets drilled. We encourage the Flanny children to help us to make the cement blocks, to make the cement pad, to help us cut the pipe, to fit everything. After all said and done, the 3 days that we were working in the village, I said to the Yoruba fellas, I said, what do you think? Never would have come to a village in my life before, but now they're just real people.
Excellent.
They're just real people. And they've been going now for 6 times now. They go with me as a team working. I have one guy now who's there today, helped building the wall for the school, leading the team in a Fulani area. So this is the kind of thing that's helping to change the thinking about this.
Amen. We're going to take a break. Our founder, Alan McGraw, is way forward. We're going to share from God's word. We're going to talk more about how we can be that bridge to the gap, help cultural differences, be an example of a disciple of Jesus Christ. So don't go away. We'll be right back with Rick Bradford right after this.
So far, in our study of the Gospel of John, we have looked at the two of the I Ams. I am the bread of life, and I am the light of the world. Today, we're going to consider a third I Am from John chapter 11, where Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. You may recall that Jesus said this to Martha on his return to Bethany at the death of Lazarus. Let's look at this passage in John chapter 11 for a moment. Starting at verse 17, it says, on his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home.
Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha answered, I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they died. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? Yes, Lord, she replied. I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who is to come into the world.
Martha showed amazing faith in several ways in these few verses. First of all, she stated that if Jesus had been there, Lazarus would not have died. She fully believed that Jesus would have healed him. Secondly, she says, even now God will give you whatever you ask. Is she believing, in the face of what is humanly impossible, that Jesus still has power over this situation? Thirdly, she agrees with Jesus that Lazarus will rise again, showing her belief in a literal afterlife and heaven. Then when Jesus calls himself the resurrection and the life, she declares that he is the Messiah, the Son of God.
Jesus was making a claim that no one else in their right mind would ever assume to make. He claims to be the resurrection. He knows he will not only rise from the dead himself, but he is the resurrection. Those who are in him, who believe in him, will be raised to life again because of who he is. The power resides in him to raise the dead. If we were to read on in chapter 11 of John's Gospel, we would see that Jesus does raise Lazarus from the dead. He is restored to his earthly life. Some of the religious leaders were so disturbed by this that they plotted not only to kill Jesus, but to kill Lazarus as well. Lazarus was living proof of Jesus' power over death. So many had witnessed this miracle that the religious leaders were afraid the entire Jewish community would believe in Jesus. Their solution was to kill them both.
Mary and Martha knew that Lazarus, like all humankind, would one day die again. So even though Jesus had raised him from the dead, this was not the resurrection that Jesus was referring to when he said, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believed in me will live, even though they die, and whoever lives and by believing in me will never die. Jesus was talking about a resurrection to eternal life, a life living forever in his home, in his presence. There are a number of instances recorded in the Bible of people being raised from the dead, including the son of the widow of Zarephath by Elijah, the Shunammite son by Elisha, and Eutychus in the book of Acts. These are all very remarkable miracles of God.
But Jesus is talking about something even more remarkable. He is referring to the raising of the dead to eternal life and to heaven. When Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, eternal death and separation from God was a part of the curse that descended on mankind. Jesus is the only one who can remove that curse. He who was present at that very first creation of man to breathe life into man's nostrils is the very one who left heaven's glory to become a man and pay the awful price of our sin by dying on the cross so that we could be forgiven and have eternal life. There is no other one who can raise us from physical death to eternal life. As we mentioned before, John wrote at the end of his gospel, "But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name."
We need to partake of Jesus Christ because he is the bread of life. We need to come to him because he is the light of the world. We need to believe on him because he is the resurrection and the life. These amazing claims made by Jesus were not boasts. They are who he really is. Apart from him, we can never find eternal life. Have you come to him and acknowledged to him that you believe? John said, "These things are written so that you may believe." This believing is placing your life in his hands, trusting him completely for forgiveness, cleansing, and life eternal. May the Lord bless you as you open your heart to his word.
Galcom International presents Stories of the Great Commission.
We had a woman who wrote in, and she heard people talking about how important it is to grow in Christ and how that means if you choose to get married, you need to find someone who also is a follower of Christ. She actually broke off a relationship that she was in, and the Lord had provided her a Christian man to marry. Here's someone who is recognizing the importance of following the Lord. And that's, of course, our goal for all of the listeners.
Galcom International. Make waves.
Thank you, Alan. Thank you, Flory, for sharing in from God's Word. Welcome back to the Mission Compass. I'm your host, Tim Whitehead, with Rick Bradford, SIM missionary to Nigeria. We're going to put some pictures of Rick up in some of his fancy Nigerian garb. We were just talking about his tailor and the clothes that he's got. Martha and you have some great clothes there. You've really done your best to be part of the community, to embrace the culture there. We want more people to do that. That's the goal of the Mission Compass program. Get people to find out how they can serve in mission. Share a little bit about, first maybe Martha, what she's done with her gifts and abilities to serve, and then what you've been doing, and then some opportunities to get over there. And we shared all that first because we wanted to acknowledge this is rough. This is difficult and sometimes dangerous. We got that out of the way, but we still want to serve. So what is Martha doing? What are you doing there?
Well, I'll just give you one thing. December 17th, 2021, we were doing a hospital celebration, the end of the year celebration, Christmas party. We're having all kinds of celebration songs and everything, and we heard gunshots. Now, I'm part of the leadership there, so calm down, let's not. The MD was part of it, and our security guy, head of security. So we're all looking at each other, wondering what's going on, so continue on. We heard some more gunshots. I just said to them, let's put the music down a little bit so people aren't going to be drawn to the noise. Within an hour, what we had heard before that was all three banks in the three towns were robbed simultaneously at the same time. All two police stations were bombed by 30 or more robbers in the town. So I had to quickly make phone calls, make sure everybody was where they were close. Martha had just had been home, so she wasn't left the compound. So we had a number of people, Ben and a few others, on the compound. So it was good. Well, we went through this. Well, of course, the people that were shot were brought to the hospital. Here I am carrying a guy that had the gunshot right through his skull. I mean, I'm just looking at this going like, this is life here. So yes, it's dangerous, but we trust God is there with us. We're there to serve, to show the people the light of what God has for this. Just give you a little light to some of these things. It's not, you know, this fancy little thing that we're doing here. No. You have to be prepared to believe that God has called you to come. With that, Martha's been a music teacher for more than 30 years. She taught music here. She taught music for other missionaries. And she has a music school. She's developing people how to teach music, how to read and write music. It was a church that asked her, would you teach us how to read and write our own music?
Own worship songs.
So that's what they're doing. They have a recording studio they've set up. It's pretty primitive, not quite like this one, but primitive music studio set up so that they could produce their own music. And other churches come and they come and get recorded. They have a computer school. They're teaching people how to do Excel, Word, all these other things. So computers, yeah, we're in need of more computers.
Okay, anyway, that's good. Yeah.
It's true. But we're doing that to help these kids learn how to do computers well. We have a cafe where people come in and register for school, register for other things, because everything is online and they don't have access to computers. So they come to the cafe to do this. We have a resource library that she has, over 12,000 theological books in the library that people can come from the town. Anyone can come and study God's word or study more about, and pastors come. So those are the things of the center that she's been developing and training staff in order to keep this going, and that the community can grow as a Christian community where we're at. The things that I'm involved in have expanded. Yes, I'm still in the shop, in the mechanic shop. I still run tractors.
No,
I still do these things. But that's the sort of thing that once you know, you always, riding a bicycle, you never forget. And they love to chat with me about what can we do here? How do we do this? What's the best way to do this? Having a mechanic, someone who's experienced, coming to the workshop is an incredible asset to the for the Yoruba people that are working at the hospital shop. We have a carpenter shop. We have a welding shop. We have a machine shop. We have a lathe. No one how to run it except myself efficiently. We would love people to come and teach these guys how to run these things well, or even more techniques. Moving forward, God has led me out to the bush, as I mentioned before. So in that, we had two schools. We had a small school right smack dead in the middle of a Fulani camp. We have another one that's in a town that we've developed just on the edge, Fulani Close, Hausa, and the Yoruba. The one in the Fulani camp, when COVID came, we had to shut down our schools. The whole state said, you have to shut down. 9 months, we were shut down. But what we'd realized is the smaller school was not being serious. 8 students with 2 teachers, we were wasting our resources. So we kept the school shut down and moved to the larger school. It's developed and developed. I built a second building. We're at the place that we need to build a third building. I have 283 students coming free. They've never heard of this. These are the kids of the bush that are coming to school free. I have 120 students waiting on a waiting list because I don't have the room, the capacity to enroll them into school. I need another building. So we've been able to continue this. We have the Fulani chiefs on board. One fella said, we were ready to leave this community, but because of what we've seen with our children learning English, learning how to read and write, we are staying and we're behind you all the way. I want my daughter to be a doctor so that we can have a hospital in my camp.
Wow.
This is a Fulani saying this to me. And I said to him, I said, you know, that's a great dream. My dream is I have a church in your Fulani camp. He says, that's okay.
So now you're also, when you bring the school, you're bringing the gospel to these kids and to their parents.
So what we're doing, here's the thing, it's tricky. Yeah. I don't want to have the school as, this is a Christian, you know, teaching Bible school. We do have Christian teachers. We only hire Christian teachers. You must show your Christian faith in your life, how you demonstrate. We teach Nigerian curriculum. We would love to teach more if I had school missionaries coming, you know, teachers coming, we'd be able to teach. But we now have evangelists working with me. I have 6 evangelists now working with me. And we're going out to the villages where they go to the school, taking the MP3s and walking through the Bible with them one by one. Also with the Jesus film. We take a projector and we go and show the Jesus film. So we sort of have a little bit of a separation.
Yeah.
But it's like stage 1, stage 2. And then now we have stage 3 coming.
That's wise. Yeah, Rick, you just quickly mentioned the MP3 players. That's the Solar Audio Bibles, and that's our connection with Rick's ministry. Our little tiny part is providing these little audio Bibles. And it's always the combination of languages, Fulani, Yoruba, Hausa. You're always getting different combinations so we can get out there.
I have 11 languages that we're using.
And so that's our part. Now, friends, the big question is, what's your part? You mentioned you could use teachers with Martha's School. You can use workmen in the workshops teaching the Yoruba. People, evangelists coming out. If someone is saying, I just want to talk more about it. I've heard the bad stuff. I know the need. The Holy Spirit's talking to me. How do they get in touch with you, with SIM?
Well, it's online first, www.sim.ca. You just put on inquire, and then that will just carry you through to ask questions. It's no commitment, and that's the best way to go. Just ask questions, and as the Lord is leading you, you'll be able to feel the sense that the Spirit is guiding you and what you should be doing.
So sim.ca here in Canada, where we're recording, and for our friends in the US, it's sim.org. And just inquire and pray. There's so many ways to serve, so many opportunities to serve. And if Nigeria and what some of Rick's stories have got you a little too scared, go on the website anyways. There's other opportunities. There's places, I'm sure, safer.
We have a Bible school. We need Bible teachers.
Okay.
We do. Owe River Theological Seminary, Ibadah Seminary. There's a number of them. We need Bible teachers.
And this is midterm, short-term,
and long-term.
All right. Yes. SIM.ca, SIM.org. Rick, thanks for coming in. It's great to have you back on Mission Compass.
It's great to be here.
Well, friends, we're at the end of our program today. You've been listening to Mission Compass, your guide to the Great Commission, presented by Galcom International. You know, there are many ways you can partner with us at Galcom in reaching the lost for Christ. You can pray for us. You can volunteer. You can join us on a mission trip. You can help us financially to build more solar-powered radios and audio Bibles and deliver them to people in remote villages around the world. You could even sponsor an entire village with its own Christian radio station. Ask God how He would want you to partner with us. It's easy to reach us. Our website is galcom.org. That's Galcom, spelled G-A-L-C-O-M.org. You can also follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. I'm Ron Harris. Thanks for joining us today on Mission Compass, a radio ministry of Galcom International.